In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And that is the word of God. Good luck. To any of you visiting this church or this community for the first time tonight, let me offer you a very special welcome. We are particularly hoping that you will feel at home. I say that not only because, well, we're glad you're here, but because this very notion of home is a big part of understanding the Christmas story. We had an evening carol service here earlier this week, and our goal for that service was quite clear. It was to be an opportunity after the annual community Christmas dinner we have here to sing some familiar carols and to hear the Christmas story retold in a simple way, perhaps even to share the story with someone who might not have heard it before. So we chose the order of the carols in such a way that it allowed us to sing the tale of the birth of Jesus. But there was also a need to put together a narrative, a kind of a script to connect them. And it was suggested to me that I just write out the Christmas story, just retell it from memory. By the way, that's not an especially notable feat. It's so well known that a lot of us here could do that. So what we're going to do then is we're going to use this story to punctuate and highlight the account that is also being told by some of these more beloved and well-known carols. What could possibly go wrong? Well, nothing really did go wrong, but I did notice that as I wrote the story of Jesus' birth down, I had to keep stopping to ask myself, is this really the story? Or was it something that we've added, the church or the culture has added to give it a little more color? You see, when you actually look up the story of Jesus' birth in the Bible, and I'm not referring to the prophecies or that extraordinary theological reflection offered at the beginning of John's Gospel. Come here tomorrow morning and you'll hear more about that. But just the birth story. You'll see that there's not really a great deal of detail that's given. I mean, there's that portion of the second chapter of Luke that we heard a few moments ago, and there's a little bit in the first chapter, or at least the first chapter, and a tiny bit at the beginning of the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, but really there's not much else. In fact, I don't think there's anything else. So what I did to guide me through the speaking parts of last Tuesday's service was I just looked at the story as it's told in the Bible, and I tried to control my strong temptation to add on other more imaginative and delicious observations about this remarkable event. And so I successfully fought back the desire to include non-crying babies. Yeah, sure. Or speculate on the actual number of visiting magi. Turn them into royalty. Or invite poor but generous drummer boys to the stable. And let's just hold that stable for a minute too. See, there's a lot that we add to the Christmas story. And what we do is we try to fill in gaps in the biblical account. And I think that makes a bunch of sense because there's a lot that's not explained. There are questions raised, at least in my mind. Now, like a good many churches, we have a Christmas pageant here, and it's brilliant. The children and a goodly number of adults take the basic Christmas story, and we act it out here on this stage. We retell it in some way that helps us to encounter this ancient but familiar story in a new way. The anachronisms, those little extra bits that we add in, like Joseph trying to turn the problem of having to register for the tax and the arduous trip to Bethlehem into kind of a business opportunity for an ambitious small-town businessman. And that really was a part of our pageant this year, as was the Katy Perry reference. Strangely, amidst our laughter, these things actually cause us to go deeper into a story we already thought we knew pretty well. But the bare-bones story that we find in the Gospels, I think it tells pretty well on its own. And those intriguing gaps, they still allow for some surprises. You know, we heard the story a few minutes ago. The about-to-give-birth Mary and Joseph are required to go to Bethlehem, which is Joseph's ancestral home, to register for a tax that Rome is placing on the citizens all around the Mediterranean. They make the trip there, and we're told that she gave birth to the baby, her first child. And then Luke says that the little lad's first crib was a manger. Okay, so Jesus' first crib was a feeding trough for animals, and they put him there because of what? Well, Luke concludes his thought with the explanation, because there was no place for them in the inn. And now, I got to tell you, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, well, why the heck aren't they staying with Joseph's family? Because that's why they're in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth. They've gone to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph's family comes from. I mean, the place must be just packed with relatives. So in my mind, I'm trying to fill in this gap in the story, wondering if Mary and Joseph weren't staying with Joseph's family because maybe there was like some family argument going on. Yes, it is wholly possible that even at that first Christmas, they had a family fight about something. I mean, what part of the annual celebration do you normally have yours? Ours usually involves the turkey. Maybe the strangeness, the scandal of Mary's pregnancy had created some family scandal, some discord, and they weren't talking. So they had to find public accommodation instead of bunking with the family. See, this is what we do with the Christmas story. As we do with most stories, biblical and otherwise, we tend to fill in the empty spots. And we do that to answer the inevitable questions that this short account raises. On the other hand, here's something interesting. That word that we see translated in our Bibles as inn, remember that this story was first written down in Greek, and so it required translation into whatever language people are choosing to read it in. The Greek word actually means guest chamber. And if you skip forward to the 10th chapter of Luke, when Jesus tells that familiar parable of the Good Samaritan, you remember that the Samaritan takes the injured man to where? To an inn. And that's a totally different Greek word. It's a word that is unambiguous in meaning inn. It's like Hotel Six, or Four Seasons, or Qualicum Beach Inn. It's not a guest chamber. So look it up. It's kind of interesting, I thought. And I wonder if Luke's using different words because he's trying to tell us something different. I mean, maybe Joseph and Mary were attempting to stay with family, and hey, even the scandal of Mary's pregnancy would not likely outplay Middle Eastern hospitality. Caring for a visitor, caring for a guest, that was a social demand that was the foundation of that culture. A visitor, a stranger, when they come to your door, you had to look after them. Check out the parable of the midnight visitor in Luke chapter 11 if you want more on that issue. You had to look after them. It's possible the problem was the place was so full of people who'd come to be registered. I mean, Bethlehem is just a tiny community after all. It was so crowded that space was at a premium. And so the conversation, it probably went like this. Joe, I'm really sorry, but I got Uncle Bernie and Aunt Gladys and their brood in the guest room. It's crazy busy right now, but the best I can do, and I'm really sorry to have to tell you this, but the best I can do is give you the outer room. It's got walls and a ceiling, and you'll be safe. See, the houses people had back then and back there, where they were built in such a way that the domestic animals were brought into this outer room during the night. Now, what we would call a stable wasn't a separate building. No, it was attached to, it was a component of the family home. And in the day, the animals would be taken outside, and the room would get cleaned up, and they would use it as extra space for the family. And I suppose it's possible they'd even leave the manger in there. Perhaps they'd cover it up with a wooden top and use it for a table. Who knows? But as you see, it's kind of interesting to fill in those blanks. Not ideal accommodation, but some of us have stayed in worse. I've slept on a couple of fold-out couches that been at friends' houses that personally I would cheerfully trade for a manger, no problem. I mean, seriously, why on earth is that metal bar strategically located in the lumbar region, you know? Like, what's with that? I digress. Like I say, the story we have in the Bible is a simple one, and it raises all sorts of thoughts to me. I mean, the story does indicate that Jesus was born in less than ideal circumstances. And just like most of our guest beds aren't, you know, like the 1A beds in the house, the Holy Family's accommodation was likely, well, the worst room in the house. But it's also possible that the birth was assisted by the practiced hand of a wise midwife with the sound of family around them. Yeah, humble birth, agreed. But one quietly celebrated by a dubious family, nonetheless aware that they were indeed a family, and despite all the inevitable dysfunction that comes with being family. Well, then again, it might be that the birth occurred in a decrepit stable of an impersonal inn, Mary, Joseph, and the babe, all on their own. We really don't know. What we do know is that Jesus and his family were vulnerable. And if we were to keep reading the story of the arrival of the Magi, we'd see that there were forces being arrayed that saw this baby as a threat. And they were exposed. And they weren't in Nazareth. They were far from the place that they would call home. See, home, it really is a big theme in the Bible. In fact, the very story of Israel is one of struggling to find and to keep a home. The promise of a home to Abraham and Sarah. Slavery and exile. And this is, it's a yearning for a place called home. For most of us, home, to have a place to call home is important, I think. As Maya Angelou observed, it's a safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. To not have a home makes life quite difficult. Home's a place that gives at least the illusion of safety. It's a place where we get to keep our stuff. It's a place to rest, to experience, we hope, some warmth. To not have a home is hard. That's a reality for a surprising number of people, even here in tiny, perfect Qualicum Beach. From young people at the high school to some pretty elderly folk, we live in a community where some of the population don't have a place that's safe. They don't have a place to keep their possessions. And there's all sorts of reasons for this. You know them. You know, poor decision-making, eccentricity, addiction, mental illness, parental abandonment, bad luck. But we live amongst the homeless. And so when we take the offering tonight, I'm going to invite you to be really generous. Really, be generous, because that's where we're going to be putting all tonight's givings. It's going to the extreme weather shelter in Parksville. It only opens on the coldest nights of the year. But when local individuals and businesses and churches and other organizations give, they're able to open it more often. And it serves as a safe place to offer warmth, to be a refuge, to be a home, even if it's just for one night. So, feel free to give recklessly. Because at least temporarily, you're going to be helping create a home. As I said at the beginning, this notion of home is central to the Christmas story, and not just the sentimental part of our gathering in various configurations of friends and family, as wonderful as that is. But ultimately, Christmas is about the coming home of the one who is revealed to be our Savior, the coming home of Jesus, the one Isaiah prophesied to be, the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He came home to be with us 2 millennia past. He came into the cold to find us, because we're just not able to find our way home successfully without him. And he continues to come to us, is determined to be with us, comes onto our turf and into our lives. Whether we're aware of it or not, that's actually what got you and me here tonight. Emmanuel means literally God with us. A Savior who wants and brings us home. I say thanks be to God. Amen.